interim director over FMI, Faith Ministries International, which is our orphanage arm. So we work with 1,000 orphans and orphanages in 12 different countries, and also try to help raise support for that. But at this time, we'll go ahead and show this.
The U.S. is currently home to only 4% of the world's total population of over 7.1 billion souls. As the population in Asia and third world nations continues to expand, the job of reaching the unreached for Christ becomes increasingly dependent on believers in these developing regions. International Gospel Mission, a Baptist mission agency founded in 1968, recognizes the responsibility of every born-again believer and local church to reach this present evil world with the true gospel. IGM is not just another mission agency. IGM's heart is in empowering God's chosen servants who have as their main purpose the goal of reaching people in the world with the gospel. The Great Commission of Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is not only for America, but also for every born-again person in every people group in every place in the world. Where there is no viable presence of the gospel, it becomes our responsibility to establish one. God makes it very clear that there are no boundaries to the growth of the gospel and no command to cease spreading it. IGM works with ministry partners in countries all around the globe. These men and women are well suited to reach their own people because they're immersed in their culture, familiar with their language and customs, and accepted by their peers. Today, by empowering our partners through the resources that God has given us in the U.S., we can succeed in having a presence for the gospel in every country of the world. Baptist Faith Missions of Kenya is under the leadership of three godly men, Wilson Mayongo, Anthony Juma, and Peter Nilsson. They have seen their efforts touched by the hand of God. In 1999, there were just two local churches in this fellowship, but it would not stay that way very long. Their partnership with IGM gave them access to needed resources, which gave them an opportunity to accomplish the vision that God laid on their hearts. Today, over 100 churches have been started, and many more churches have joined the Fellowship of Baptist Faith Missions to reach many more souls for Christ. They have two Bible schools, one in Kenya and the other in Rwanda, training men and women to be spiritual leaders in the churches. They have several Christian day schools, exposing many young people to the Word of God. In addition, through their orphanage, they are also able to reach out and minister to orphans. What is exciting is that they presently are working in six different countries and are looking for opportunities to launch into more as God permits. Dr. Jacob Gadala of India graduated from a Christian university in the U.S. in 2012. God blessed him immensely when he returned to his country. While he was still in school, it was apparent that God's hand was upon this man's life. Resources had been given for land to be purchased and a building to be built. And only 2 years later, a church of over 125 people is having an impact on the cause of Christ. Doing God's work demands godly men. To help with accountability, IGM has chosen men of wisdom and godly character as national field representatives to help coordinate IGM activity with its partners. These representatives now function in many countries. These men are instrumental for accountability and for encouraging their men to keep pressing on for the glory of God. IGM also partners with three organizations which target specific areas that need special emphasis. Vision 2020 Asia pursues the goal of reaching the 1040 window, which includes two-thirds of the world's population. Under the leadership of Dr. James Starr, this organization works in the gateway area of northern India, a staging ground to reach into all of Asia. Their goal is to train young men and women to become disciples of Jesus Christ, who will then effectively evangelize, exhort, and edify their own people. Vision 2020's Truth and Freedom program was designed specifically to win souls and to establish our brothers and sisters in Christ. Often Christians in India are beaten and at times martyred for their faith in Christ. The battle cry is to stand fast, girded with the whole armor of God. Faith Ministries International is the orphan ministry of IGM. FMI provides assistance to national church planters for the care of orphans. FMI's desire is to help care for the fatherless, enabling orphans to come under the comprehensive teaching of the gospel, receive a great education, and have their physical needs met, gives these children the opportunity to become ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Benjamin Ministries, under the leadership of Dan and Pam Waterman, touches the lives of individuals who have gone through the loss of a loved one. Bereavement is such a neglected area in the lives of so many. God makes it very clear that without Christ, death can create a pain that is not understood, and its ultimate end can be devastating. Benjamin Ministries helps to bridge the gap between the pain of death and the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. If God has spoken to you concerning any part of the IGM ministry, or if God is directing you to help in a tangible way, let your IGM representative know. To donate to any particular ministry, go to the website igmgo.org and click the Give button at the top of the page.
It is a delight to be here this morning, and I think I'd rather be here than where your pastor is this morning, but maybe they're in a beautiful sunny place, so we'll see. But keep them in your prayers for sure during these next days, that God would give them the rest and just a great time together. This morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about does missions really matter. On the back, there is a display there. I encourage you to stop by. There's trifolds. You can pick them up. Be praying for our family. Really be praying for my wife, Denise. It's been a hard year for her since February. She has been very sick over the last 5 or 6 months. In fact, just over a month ago, we thought we were going to lose her. But be praying for her. They're still trying to figure out everything that's going on with her. She went through bronchitis just time and time and time again. They kept throwing antibiotics at it. And it got, you know, developed into some other things. She's starting to do better. We feel like she's coming out of the woods. She has her good day and then a couple bad days and her good day and just no strength left. And so be praying for her. They've run every kind of test there is, just about everything. And we just committed her to the Lord and trusting that the Lord would help bring complete healing to her. So please remember her in your prayers and pick up that trifold. Remember us in your prayers. There's also a sign-up sheet if you'd like to get our prayer letter. Just sign up, put your email address there. And we're also, there's a jar there. If you can help us, we're trying to pay for 11 children to go to school this year in Ivory Coast. They're our pastor's kids. And our pastors don't get salaries. Their churches struggle. They deal with people that really don't have money. The way they're paid is usually someone brings in yams or something from their field and help feed them. So for the kids to go to school, it's $75 a piece. And if you can help with that, there's a jar there. I encourage you to do that. This morning, I like to take our time and look at the subject, does missions matter? Does missions really matter? You know, as we go through Scripture, we find out that the Bible addresses many different questions
And we find that in Scripture that preaching matters. It says, how will they know unless someone goes and someone is sent? So we know that preaching matters. We know that the church matters. And we also know that giving matters. The only way that missions can be carried out around the world is through His faithful people giving and holding the ropes as your missionaries go on around the world. But this morning, I'm talking about the subject of missions. Does missions matter? And if anyone is here this morning not clear about what missions is, missions has to do with you and me taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe and to every nation, to every people. And we're commanded to go. It says, the Bible says we're to go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world. And Jesus indicated this work was to begin at home in our communities and then spread from there on. And this morning, I'd like to emphasize that missions is not starting churches. It's not mailing checks. It's not a program. It's not a ministry of the church, although it involves all of that, and it is part of all of that. But rather, it's the very, very purpose for the church. And if missions is the very purpose for the church, and you and I are the disciples of Christ, are the church, then it stands to reason that missions is the very purpose for our existence. And so missions does matter. We had a missions conference in our church just not long ago, and one of the keynote speaker for us that weekend was Nard. Nard was a Filipino. He grew up in the Philippines. And he says, I'm a savage from the Philippines, came from the northern east part of the Philippines. And he said, I can remember, he says, as I was a young man, he said, I remember the very first time I ever met a white man. And he says, I walked out of my hut in my village, and I walked right into face-to-face with a white man. He says, first time I'd ever seen a white man in all my life. And he said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I didn't know if I should run or if we should eat him. And I asked him afterwards, he told us all, you know, white man tastes like chicken. And I went up to him afterwards and I said, well, what does Filipino taste like? He says, very bad. You don't want to eat that. But he said, this white man's name was Cameron Townsend. He was the founder of Wycliffe Bible Translators. And he said, he was the one that led me to Jesus Christ. And he said, through that relationship that I had with him, he said, I came to the States and I went ahead and did my Bible schooling. He said, and when I was done with my Bible schooling, he says, God was calling me into aviation. And he said, I went ahead and got my pilot's license. And he said, I became the first jungle pilot for JARS. He said, I flew for JARS for over 40 years. He said, taking that plane and banking it into all these little man-made runways, he said, I could spend a whole hour telling you about these runways. He says, probably the scariest runway we had is you just barely had the time to get the plane started. And he said, then you drop and just drop off a cliff and go down, and eventually that engine would catch up. He said, or hopefully it did. But you know, he said, in all the years, he says, in those 40 years that I flew for Wycliffe and took the Bible and took God's word into all these different jungle areas and villages and into their language, he says, I'll never forget. He says, the most precious trip to me was the first time I was able to take the Bible to our own village, to our own people in their heart language. He said it was the first 500 Bibles that were printed in our language. And he said, I had the privilege of flying that plane into our little landing strip there, and I got out and I started unloading these boxes. And he said, the first one out was my sister. And she came out and she came running up and she started helping me unload these boxes. And then she said to me, she says, what's in these boxes? He said, I opened up the box, and I pulled out one of the Bibles, and I showed it to her. He said, this is God's word in your heart language. He said, I'll never forget her response. He said she grabbed that Bible, she hugged that Bible as tight as she could, tears start streaming down her face, and she started dancing around. The question is, does missions matter? It mattered to them. And I wonder this morning, I don't know how much missions matters to you. However, when I think of our zeal for proclaiming the gospel of Christ in our homes, in our communities, I have to wonder if missions really does matter very much to us today. You see, I wonder if sharing, declaring, proclaiming our faith matters as much to us as it does to the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses who are out every weekend. Does it matter as much to us as it does to the Muslims who have suddenly discovered the long-lost practice of door knocking? Do you remember the Great Commission the Great Commission found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, where Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Folks, that's what missions is about. It's about you and me taking the gospel into all the world. It's about you and me taking the gospel into our neighborhoods, into our communities, into our towns, into our cities. But often, we're too busy. We find ourselves too busy with the daily things that it comes back to going to church on Sunday, and all of a sudden it reminds us, this is what we should have been doing all week. Oh yeah, I'm going to do it this week. Then Monday rolls around. You know, there's an old adage that used to say that everybody goes to church Sunday morning because it's the thing you should do. That those come back on Sunday night because they like the pastor. And the ones that come back on Wednesday night is because they truly love the Lord. And I don't know how true that is. I do know that I'm in many, many churches throughout the year, and one of the things I've been finding out is that those numbers stack up. And our church in Blair, our home church, our own sending church in Blairsville, Georgia, is no different. Sunday mornings, we run over 800 people. Two morning services. Sunday night, we're lucky to get 60 out. We have more that come out on Wednesday nights than we do on Sunday nights. Does missions matter? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then," it says, "the end will come." And I want you to notice some of the key elements of this statement. Jesus said that the gospel we share is about the kingdom. He said, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. The gospel is about the kingdom of God. It's about the reign of God. It's about the Son of God. It's about the triumphal death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He purchased redemption for every man. He defeated sin, hell, and the grave. Listen, folks, the good news we share is all about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. You see, Jesus said, this mission will be accomplished. The gospel of the kingdom, He said, shall be preached. It will happen. And it's up to you and it's up to me to decide whether we're going to be a part of that. And how active are we going to be involved in that? You know, you can't turn on the television today and listen to the news and not realize that the coming of our Lord and Savior is soon. Our time is coming to a close, and yet does it concern us? What concern do we have about it? I remember the neighbors that we have there in Blairsville. The first set of neighbors we had, my wife led them to the Lord. Bill would do anything for you. Anything you needed done, he would do. And then one day, Carol came over and says, we sold our house, we're going to move to another area, and this and that. And we said, oh, man. And we enjoyed Bill and Carol. Well, then we got new neighbors. And they've been there for a year and a half now. And I think it was a few months later after they arrived, my wife came to me and she said, Jim, she says, what do you think of our new neighbors? I smiled. She says, what does that mean? I said, have you met them? She said, yeah. And I said, what do you think? She says, no, I asked you. I said, let me tell you what happened. I said, I was out there the other day, and I mowed our back lawn yard. It goes downhill, and there's, you know, we don't have any flags up, so we're exactly where the boundary's going at. And he came over to me, and he says, you know, you're mowing my lawn. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, I'm not going to charge you anything for it. You should be happy about that. He didn't find that very humorous at all. And I said, well, where exactly am I mowing? What am I mowing wrong? He says, you're mowing this much of my lawn, my yard, all the way down. I said, okay. I said, I'll try to remember that. I'll move over a little bit as I go down. The next day, he'd taken every branch that had fallen down in the yard and put himself a line all the way down. And I asked my wife, I said, what am I to do with that? And she looked at me and she says, you're to love him. I said, that's hard to do. I said, he's got a problem. She said, no, you do. I said, no, I don't. I said, and it wasn't long after that, I was pulling out of out onto the main road. I mean, and I was going by his house, and he has a fence, white picket fence on the front of his yard there. And there's about this much from the picket fence to the pavement. Well, that's the roadway. It's called the right-of-way or whatever. And he come whipping around the corner, and our paved road is only big enough for one car. So I immediately pulled over on that. And as he drove by, he gave me a tongue lash. And he says, get off my grass. That's my grass. Explained to her that this happened, and she said, so what did you do? I said, well, I had a choice, Denise. I said, I could have just stayed in the middle of the road, and we could have sat and honked at each other until one of us decided to back up. I said, I did the polite thing and pull over, and I said, I still got in trouble for that. The bottom line is, it's up to us to decide whether or not we want to be a part of reaching the world for Christ, regardless of how they react. Secondly, Jesus said that our mission concerns all nations, not just people. For it says, for a witness unto all nations. And that word nations is translated from the Greek word ethnos, which we get ethnic groups. And it has to do with all the people groups of the world, each individual culture and language people group in the world, reaching them. And it may not be realistic to reach every single person in the world with the gospel of Christ, but we can reach every people group with the gospel. And Christ tells us that when that is done, Jesus says, then the end will come. How close are we to doing that? With the technology that we have today, how close are we to getting the gospel into every people group? I have a national pastor coming Friday from Burkina Faso, Robert Lumpel. Robert will be traveling with me for the next 2 months. We'll be traveling into 10 different states and presenting his ministries. Robert comes from the country in West Africa, Burkina. He can't speak any English, so everything he does is in French, and I'll translate it for him. But Robert said to me one day, he had a ministry going there in Burkina that was doing well. He had started five churches. He was pastoring a church of 400 or 500 people. He had a salary, everything was going swimmingly. And he said, then God called him, told him one day, he says, I want you to turn this church over to one of your young pastors. And he said, I want you to go to this area and start a new ministry. And the area that he wanted Robert to go start a new ministry in was a predominantly Muslim area. 80% of it was Muslim. And Robert said, no. He said, I've worked hard to get where we are. I've worked hard to have all this happen. I've worked hard to finally have a salary. And he says, and now you want me to turn it all over? No. He said, I argued with God for a month. He says, you know what happens when you argue with God? He says, you don't ever win. God will go on and on and on. And he said, you can only tolerate so much. And he said, after about a month of going back and forth with him, he said, I came to the realization that he wins. And he said, I turned the church over. And he said, I went out to this new area. And I started working in this new area. And he said, the first thing I do is I went and I met the chief of the area. And the chief, he said, in all the years that he had been chief of this area, he says, never had a pastor ever come to him and shared anything with him. He says, you're the first pastor that's ever come to me and shared with me what you were wanting to do and asked my permission if you could come and work with my people. And he said to Robert, he says, I want you to know one thing. He says, I'm a Muslim. And he says, if you respect me, I'll respect you. And he says, you have my blessing to do whatever you feel that God is telling you to do. Robert said, we started with the children. Because the only way we realize that if we're going to reach the Muslims for Christ, we're going to reach them through their children because they're not going to allow you in their home otherwise. And he said, we started with the children and we started with kids clubs. And he said, within the first 2 months, we had over 150, close to 200 children coming to our kids clubs weekly. And he said it opened up all kinds of doors. We were able to get into the homes. We were able to share the gospel with these kids. We were able to visit them in their homes, see what kind of living conditions they were in, all these things going on. And he said, then we begin to get the mothers coming to us and saying, if what you have to say is so important, then why isn't it important for you to tell us too? And he says, that's exactly where we wanted to be. And he said, not only were we reaching kids for Christ, we begin to reach their mothers for Christ and in hopes that eventually we would reach some of the fathers. And he said, I'll never forget. He said, when it came to Christmas, that first year at Christmas, he said, we took the Christmas story to the chief's courtyard. We had almost 300 children. And we took them all to the chief's courtyard. And we put on the Christmas program. We read the Christmas story. He said we sang Christmas hymns. Some of the kids did had memorized Christmas verses and recited those. And he said they even put a skit on. And we did all this in front of the chief and his whole entourage. And the chief got up with tears in his eyes and he said, you know, he said, I had no idea what you were doing with our children, but he said, my heart has been overwhelmed. He says, next year I will come to your church for Christmas. Well, the next year came, and I asked Robert, I said, did the chief show up? I said, did you remind the chief? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, because he told me he was going to come. I was going to see if he was a man of his word. He said, do you know that after 10 minutes of we started, 10 minutes later, he walked in with his whole entourage and sat down in the first three pews and sat there and listened to the gospel. He said, God is at work. He said, I fought with God. He said, God knows what he was doing. And he said, God is at work. And he says, yes, missions does matter. He says the problem is we. He says, are we going to be obedient to that call and be a participant in it? You see, it matters to God. When Adam fell, God went looking for him. When humanity was lost and without hope, he sent his son. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, missions matters. It matters to God. It matters to his disciples. If you're serious about why you are here, if you're tired of playing church or doing church or just attending church and you want to live for something that really matters, if you're a disciple ready to make disciples, then missions matters. If you care about the glory of God, the eternal destiny of people you love, and those that you don't even know, and you care about being obedient to God, then missions matter. It even matters to the people in hell. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16? You see, the rich man begged Abraham for something to cool him off in the torments of hell. And he was suffering and he was in agony. And Abraham told him there was nothing that he could do. He had made his choice and would suffer for all eternity for rejecting Christ. But you remember what he said. He said, his thoughts. Where did that rich man's thoughts go to? They went to his brothers, his family still living on earth, and he pleaded with Abraham, please send someone to go back to earth and warn them. Send someone to go back. Listen, folks, here's a man in hell with the heart of a missionary, but it was too late. It was too late. And I wonder how many people are in hell and are praying even now for people like you and me to go and tell their families what we know. And the question this morning is, does missions matter? Yes, it matters. Jesus said that the gospel will be preached unto the ends of the world, and then I shall return. One day we'll all be accountable before him. And I guess the question we need to ask ourselves is when we stand before the Lord, and maybe he presents that same phrase, did missions matter to you? What's our response? You see, missions matters to God. It matters to his disciples. It matters to people in hell. But the question this morning is, does it matter to you? Studies show us today that 150,000 people die every day, over 6,200 people every hour, 104 people every minute, almost 2 every second. Do we care? In closing this morning, if missions matter, there's 5 things we can do to demonstrate our concern. First of all, share your faith. Share the gospel. There's an old saying that says, you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. What are they reading off our lives? They're reading how we react. They're reading how the different things we say, how we respond to things. What are they reading? You see, if missions matters, then we'll be sharing our faith. Secondly, share your life. Model your faith. Be a disciple. Be a disciple. I'll never forget Luco. He called me one day and he said, what do you do when you can no longer do what God's called you to do? I said, what are you talking about? He says, what do you do when you can no longer do what God's called you to do? I said, I guess it's time for you to go home. He says, no. He said, I've been a brick mason all my life, laying block all my life. He says, I've constructed I don't know how many churches all my life. Churches, pastors, residents, all kinds of things. He says, I can no longer lift and do the thing, lift the block anymore and spend the hours doing that every day. He says, so what do I do with my life? I said, well, you know, I said, the only thing I can say to you, Luco, is you're still here because God wants you here. Or he would have, you'd be rejoicing with him. He said, he gave me an idea. I said, so why didn't you tell me this at the beginning of our conversation? He said, I just wanted to see what you would say. Well, I said, I already had you pegged as a dead person because you're no longer useful. No, I didn't. He said, we live in a big village and a lot of surrounding villages. He says, one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I took an old tire rim and hung it up on a tree and took a tire iron and banged on it. Hit that thing as hard as I could at 6 in the morning. He says, you know what happens when you do that? He says, you wake up most of the village. And they come out. He says, some aren't very happy with you. In fact, he said, I would venture to say majority aren't very happy with you. And he said, I told him, come sit down. I got something to share. Come sit down. You have to hear this. Boy, they came. They were expecting something really big. And he said, it was. He said, I presented the gospel to them. Oh, he said, I got mixed reactions to that. The next morning, I banged it again. He said, a bunch of them came back. He said, every day they started coming back. He said, we have a group now. He said, we were given some land and we need to put up some kind of structure because the rains are coming and we have no place to meet and we need a pavilion and that. And he said, we need some funds. Can you help us? And so we prayed about it and we asked the Lord to help, and some churches here in the state sent funds. When the funds came, I went down. He said, I want you to come down for the weekend and I want you to preach to my small group. I went down there that Sunday and we presented the funds. You know what I found out? I found out that his small group was over 900 people. He looked at me and I said, you told me it was a small group. He says, God's just starting. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said to me, he says, you see, when God is finished with you in one area, he has something else for you to do in another area. He says, the question is, are you willing? You know, they built a church there and they have over 2,600 people on a Sunday. Luca was a brick mason. He knew the word of God. I put him up to about any pastor there was. He could hold his own. Share your life. Thirdly, we need to pray. Folks, we need to get back to being a praying people. When they took prayer out of the schools, they're taking it out of the homes. They're taking it out of everything up in Washington. It's a sad day for America. And if we want to see our nation turn around for the Lord and we want to see things change for the Lord, we need to implement the Word of God. We need to implement praying. We need to get back to being a praying people. If we want to see our churches get on fire for the Lord, we need to be a praying people. Fourthly, we need to give. And it goes without saying that the church needs the financial blessing of its people. God has richly blessed us. Do you realize that our poorest are poor are 96% richer than the rest of the world? He has richly blessed us. But I'm not just talking about finances. We need to be giving of ourselves as well. And we need to be giving of our time. They say that if you want something done in the church, ask the 20% that'll do it, and it'll get accomplished. The other 80% just don't have the time or really the interest. Wow. Is that true? It's true. I'm not around our church that often there in Blairsville because I'm always on the road. But one of the things I notice is when I am around that it's the same people doing the same thing or accomplishing what needs to be done. And lastly, if missions really matters, then we'll go. And I'm not saying this morning that you need to go overseas, you need to go to Africa, you need to go to Australia, you need to go to Hawaii. That might be a good place to go, no. But I'm not telling you you need to do that. What I'm telling you is we need to start with our neighbors. We need to start with our communities. And we need to hold the ropes of those that go to the regions beyond. I had a pastor tell me once, he said, and he pastored a large church. He said that God gave me a wake-up call. I said, well, how? He said that one day my neighbor came to me and she said, my husband has passed away. Would you be willing to do his funeral? And he said there, I sat there and I looked at her and I, embarrassed, he said, I had to ask her. I said, was he a Christian? He said, you see, Jim, he said, I'm here, I'm pastoring thousands and thousands of people. He says, I'm ministering. He says, I'm administrating. I've got youth pastors. I've got associate pastors. I've got song leaders. I've got everything going on. He says, I'm ministering to these people. I'm going to the hospitals. I'm doing everything. And he says, I'm neglecting my own neighborhood. He said, I couldn't, and I've lived there for 15 years in that neighborhood. And he said, I couldn't even hard tell you who my neighbors are. He said, I couldn't tell you if some of them have moved and new ones came in or what. But he said, I made this promise. He said, that would never happen to me again. And he says, within that year, he said, I went to every single neighbor in my neighborhood and beyond and faced them with the question, do you know Jesus Christ? What about us? What's important to us? Does missions matter? Matters to God. It should matter to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege we have to be in a Bible-believing church. And for the privilege we have to hear from your word Sunday in and Sunday out. And yet, Father, I pray that you would forgive us where we have failed you. And that you will find us faithful in these days and weeks ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.